It's the Steve Gruber Show. Matt Bertram sitting in for Steve on this Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Lots to come for the next hour and a half or so, including John Burns right now. He's Deputy Director for Concerned Veterans for America, veteran of the United States Marine Corps and Army National Guard. John, thanks so much for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Oh, Scott, thanks for having me on. So happy to be here.
You can also find him on Twitter at John Burns, 13 Burns with a Y there. And John, I know you've got a piece at the Daily Caller on the VA budget and health care, but please, if you would, take a moment for people who perhaps did not do so themselves yesterday. We stopped by a Memorial Day event in Jonesville here, just north of us in Hillsdale. But give people a little reflection, if you could, on Memorial Day, the meaning of Memorial Day, why we stop each year to take a look back.
Absolutely. As we kick off summer, you know, there's lots of kind of mythic origin stories of Memorial Day. But, you know, there are spring rites going back to other cultures that honored their heroes. Certainly in America, we kind of mostly date it to the Civil War and Remembrance Days. But certainly by the 20th century and World War One, we're celebrating a late May Memorial Day enacted into law. In the 60s as a federal holiday, became a Monday holiday shortly thereafter. Some groups like the American Legion, VFW, have pushed back to try and get it shifted back to May 30th as a day rather mm-hmm. than a Monday holiday to kind of try and bring some of that solemnity back. But I think, you know, even with the barbecues and the occasional, uninformed American who says happy Memorial Day to a veteran who's lost people, I think Americans mostly recognize that this is a solemn holiday, where we honor those who've given up their lives, who've given that last full measure so that we can live healthy, free and prosperous lives here at home in America.
Also over the weekend, John, we have this this debt limit agreement in place late on Friday. Your piece over at the Daily Caller on the VA budget and some misleading statements about it. Anything change from what you've seen in this new agreement that was released late on Friday night?
Well, you know, what I did notice was that Secretary McDonough, the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, prior to this appointment, was mostly a political hack, a communications wonk for various Democratic and progressive causes. He was still fighting, saying that this is going to hurt veterans, that having fiscal sanity was going to only come on the backs of veterans. And of course, we know that's not true. We at Concerned Veterans for America, CV4A.org, we're pushing back on that narrative very, very strongly because Americans care about their veterans. They care about what happens to them. We shouldn't we shouldn't use veterans as political pawns, especially with untruths, right? And there was nothing in the debt ceiling negotiation bill that the House Republicans published that said they would cut VA spending. They said that they were going to cut across the board spending, meaning that they were going to find a way to cut overall spending. Many, many, many members who voted for that bill in favor of it said that they would not support cuts at the VA. And frankly, the VA has, the second largest budget in the federal discretionary spending bucket. And there probably is room to make fiscally sane cuts there. And frankly, nothing could hurt America's veterans more, most of whom live in the middle class, than tanking our economy by continuing to tax and spend and borrow and spend.
John, you wrote in the Daily Caller about the need for increased health care options for veterans. I've heard about this a time or two. What is available presently? What would be better for our nation's veterans?
So, the VA is an old institution. Most of the VA hospitals that you see around the country came about in the 30s or in the late 40s, early 50s. America's demographics were very different then. We've become, much more urbanized. People have shifted, people have moved. But at the same time, where America's veterans lived has shifted as well. Less folks from those urban areas are serving. But the VA still operates on this old model where folks need to go to the VA to get seen, to get taken care of. We passed a series of bills, including most recently the VA Mission Act back in 2018. Concerned Veterans for America, CV4A.org, helped write and advocate for the passage of those bills. Mission Act passed with overwhelming bipartisan support in both houses, and it told the VA that they had to assign community care in many cases, it gave the VA the discretion to set the kind of the access standards. And they said for things like mental health that if you couldn't be seen within 20 days, that you should be assigned community care. And yet we know that they're not doing that. We've got information proving that the VA is not assigning mental health cases to community care, even if it takes more than 20 days for them to be seen at the VA. You know, and as I've kind of highlighted this weekend, you know, one of the signature wounds of this global war on terror that we've just supposedly just finished fighting a few years ago has been mental health, which leads to suicides, which leads to four times as many, you know, deaths by suicide as we saw in the combat zone in this generation of veterans. And if the VA was assigning community care, I think that number would have been reduced.
John Burns with us, CV4A.org, Concerned Veterans for America. Is the veterans fight for healthcare options much different, much more different than what the rest of America is going through at this point?
Well, you know, I mean, yes and no. I mean, you know, a personal option, the idea of being in control of your own healthcare is something that not just veterans should be seeking, but that all Americans should be seeking. You know, we're part of a large community of organizations that believe that you know, things like personal option and healthcare, you know, supply side solutions to all healthcare are important. You know, reinforcing America's healthcare system through using good economic thinking is something we believe in. And again, you know, at the VA, our piece of it is fighting so that veterans, you know, can access the healthcare that they've earned, the healthcare that they deserve, while they stay in control, right? The VA dollars should follow the veteran. And this is a benefit they earn through service. But just like their school benefit through the GI Bill or their housing bill through the home loan benefit, we don't force people to go to GI University or Veteran University. We let them take it to any accredited university.
Right.
Veteran healthcare dollars, the benefit they've earned for healthcare should work the same way. If they choose to go to VA hospitals or VA clinics, like I go to a clinic for primary care, they should be able to. But they should also be able to use community care when it best suits their situation. They really should have true choice.
John Burns, CV4A, is where to find them online.